Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. It's going to be a big week. Jeffrey, it's draft week. How about that?
Surprise.
It is draft week, and the Grizzlies, as of now,
picking 16th.
Still picking 16th. And so we will see what manner of picks or swaps are made this week. So we have a lot, of course, to talk about on that front. We got a new NBA champion. We will talk about that. We had a big deal in the NBA. Of course, a Western contender just gets better, Jeffrey. That's sort of how it works. Ed Scott, actually, this could get lost in everything that happened. Ed Scott spoke to the media Friday and had some interesting things to say about the University of Memphis, LSU, baseball championship yet again. And there is much more to talk about, including it's hot out. I guess you noticed, Jeffrey, it's hot out.
Oh yeah.
It is definitely hot out. Summer fully. Are you on board?
Oh, I'm as happy as I can be.
So we do have a lot to get to, today. Chris Harrington will join us straight up at 10 o'clock. Otherwise it'll be us, on this Monday, but of course start with the news. Fred Smith's stunning passing Saturday. It was actually Jeffrey who broke the news to me. You were at a concert, is that right?
I was at Live at the Garden, yes.
So, first of all, how was the concert?
Concert was great. Shout out to Third Eye Blind. Everyone seemed to have a really good time.
Did you go because you like Live at the Garden or because you like Third Eye Blind?
Both.
Both.
And the ticket price is right. So, shout out to Scott.
Good crowd?
Good crowd. Looked full.
So, did you get a text? Did you hear? Did someone walk up and say?
So one of my friends that came in town to go to the show with me, he has a buddy that.
We'll just be, we can be vague here.
Yeah, he has a buddy, and he said, "Hey, this is not for the public right. Doesn't know yet. It wasn't like, hey, this is not public.
You're just standing there watching Third Eye Blind.
This is even before the show. I think this is during the opening act. Joy Bomb, I think, was the local band that was opening, and he had just come back from like the restroom. He's like, "Hey, someone just told me this, and it's someone that would probably know." And so I was like,
Fred Smith had passed away.
I was like, "Well, I know the person that needs to know."
Well, that is, I mean, it's one of those. It's funny. Buck Welford is a local attorney in town. Used to be my neighbor when I lived over on Oak's Edge, and he posted on social media that he found out Saturday that we bombed Iran and Fred Smith died. And he's like, "Oh my God, Fred Smith died." Yeah.
Same reaction.
The stunning thing about it is it really shouldn't be that stunning that an 80-year-old man has passed away. That's just you look at the life expectancy tables. But, and Scott Morris sort of put it, he just could not imagine Memphis without Fred Smith. He's always been there. He's the guy who gets us out of any predicament, goes by one name, Fred.
Yep.
And the notion that Fred is gone is just stunning and gutting, and really tough. And I think as it hits, it's with a blend of, and I don't know how you felt about it, shock and gratitude, right? The tributes have been pouring in, not just locally. Jim Strickland called him the most important Memphian ever. Former mayor Jim Strickland, and no one even, like, you don't even argue. You don't even get an argument, but from around the world, and then from locally, the tributes have been pouring in. But that's what it is. It is absolute shock and utter gratitude.
Yeah, with a little of melancholy, I suppose.
Oh, no, we'll get into that. It's a little bit like, what now? Like,
I mean, there's no question.
There's like, definitely a what now.
Just thank you.
Yeah. And so the stories have, and I'm sure you've seen them, I have to say, if you haven't read Jane Roberts' piece at the Daily Memphian about Fred and his passing, you should. She talked to Jack Sammons, and Jack's just like he's the best quote of Memphis. He's a very thoughtful guy on the most important Memphian ever, and the story that Jack told was kind of stunning because people immediately like, what? I didn't even know Fred was ill. Like it was a week ago or 10 days ago, he appeared at a conference at the Peabody. And then I heard from people who had lunch with him yesterday. And Steve Earhart told me that he'd been texting back and forth with him about whether Fred was going to be able to come to a football dinner later this summer and hoped he would be back in time to go. And it was what in the world? Yeah, he may be older, but
right. But it wasn't like we were dealing with a sick person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Fred was out and about.
Right.
And as Jack explained to Jane, he had actually spent the day Saturday in the waiting room of the ER at Baptist East because his brother had been sick.
Yeah.
And so his brother had been sick, and so he'd been hanging out, and he hung out with Jack, and they were telling stories and talking and whatever else. And then evidently he went home and had a heart attack and died early Saturday evening.
Yeah.
So by the time you heard it, it was so just absolutely stunning news. And I think it will take a while to process it. I'm not breaking any news when I tell you that Fred Smith is one of the most impressive and important Memphis business people of the last half century. Mike Glenn, who was the vice president, executive vice president in charge of marketing. And
yep.
I talked to him yesterday, and he called him the greatest business person, of recent vintage in across the country. If you stop, it's funny. There's been a lot of talk. Everyone talks about the Yale paper,
mm-hmm.
right? Where he was a student at Yale. And he submitted a paper that outlined what FedEx would be, overnight delivery service, whatever. And he got a C on the paper. That's the story. Everyone tells it as if it's true. It apparently, he did do a paper at Yale about a delivery service. There's not much evidence that he actually got a C. The quote that people attach is he once said, I don't know, I probably got my typical gentleman C.
Yep.
In other words, he didn't really know what he got. It's a great story that he got a C and that he then FU'd the professor and did it to split. That part of it seems to be. It is true, though, as a student, he did outline this this plan. And he said, I probably got my tip. I guess he wasn't the greatest student at Yale. And he got his quote unquote typical gentleman C, but he actually has no real recollection of what he got on the paper, at least according to Fred himself. The other great legendary story about Fred Smith, of course, is that early on, after he started the company, they didn't have enough money to pay their fuel bill.
Yep.
And so he went to Las Vegas and gambled on the $27,000, I think it was, on blackjack, and got enough money to pay fuel for that week. And those are great sort of Paul Bunyan-esque legendary stories. You don't even need those to explain the incredible greatness of Fred Smith as a business person. And Charles might get mad at me because he's going to talk about this a little bit tomorrow. But when we were growing up, and I had this in my column, and it was a credit to Charles in my column too, actually, if you ordered something from anywhere, it said allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. Like, that's the world we grew up in, right?
Well, like, I mean, I just think about when I was growing up, anytime you'd be watching TV, you'd always just see like the mail-in, yeah, exactly. The mail-in ads, like 6 to 8 weeks
for delivery, or
batteries not
else,
included,
yeah.
Whatever, shipping and handling.
And then the truth is that at the time in 73, when they started service, a stamp was 8 cents. And back then, the Postal Service was pretty damn reliable. You could get something sent somewhere in 2 days. And it would be, it's not like now, or yeah, maybe it'd be a week, like whatever. And then we also had fax.
Yeah.
Who, this idea that you would have this fleet of airplanes that, because you needed it in a day, when you already had fax machines, it sounded crazy. Like, what it does, it did seem kind of crazy. I was talking to Pitt Hyde about it. The other thing is that one of the early on, the reason they needed to use the smaller plane they used was there were limits on where you could fly airplanes unless you had a smaller airplane, and
right,
then you could call it a taxi. And so that's sort of what they did. But then the other thing that Pitt pointed out was they weren't making money. You could fill these planes with every crack and crevice, with every letter, and they weren't making money until Fred persuaded Washington to deregulate the freight industry.
Yeah.
And then you could start doing packages, and that's when they actually started making a fortune. Staley Cates, who I talked to, said he would, because he was an investor, and they'd have clients in their mutual funds. And he said, you could have a list that have your Hall of Fame entrepreneurs on it, right? And Fred's on that.
Yep.
But then you have your list that had Hall of Fame operators and CEOs on it. And Fred is on that. And there's only a handful of people in history who are on both of those. In fact, Staley told me that the real part of the real genius of Fred, like the paper, the Yale paper, is all about air service. But part of the genius of Fred was he bought these two trucking companies,
yep,
that became FedEx Freight and FedEx, yep, Ground. And that's what really has enabled them to have the duopoly that has enabled them to flourish in the way that they have flourished. So he is an absolute genius businessman. In addition to like, 2 tours in Vietnam, Purple Heart. I think Sam Hardiman had it in his story Saturday that Fred's greatest moment or striking moment in Vietnam was when his men dug the hole for him. He realized his men had dug the foxhole for him, and because that's the regard in which they held him. I mean, you can go back and you look at his commendations. He got a Silver Star, a Bronze Star, Purple Heart. Just an unbelievable life.
A lot of it is like, if you wrote this character for a movie, you'd be like, come on.
Yeah, come on. You would be, come on. And, I mean, Mike also told stories about him. He said, the greatest leader I've ever known, ever worked for, and I could imagine. Two stories he told about that were, one, that he got a promotion when Mike got a promotion to executive vice president. He was feeling pretty good about himself.
The way you would, right?
He's like, look at all I did. And he immediately sees Fred, and Fred tells him, he says, we promoted you on potential.
Not today.
We think you could be good someday.
Right.
But. And then the other story he told was is that when times were hard for FedEx, that's when they were facing trouble. That's when Fred would come in and he'd say, isn't this going to be great? Like, isn't this going to be great when we get through this? There are great days ahead. We are going to get through this, and this is going to be great. And then, of course, when they were killing it, that's when he was toughest on people. But he also told, like, Fred is legendarily unassuming.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much. I mean, you went to MUS, so maybe you'd see him around. But Mike told the story of his son was a modest football player. I don't know if he was playing Pee Wee or where he was playing at this stage. And Fred asked about him. Fred always loved to ask about your family, and I'm always struck by people who ask questions of you, who are interested, who are curious beyond themselves, right? Like a lot of folks, let's be honest, aren't curious beyond themselves.
Sure.
Scott Morris says that he met Fred at one point, and Fred asked about his father. Well, his father was shot down in Korea. Scott Morris's father was shot down over Korea. And so the next thing he knows, Fred gets in touch with him. He'd looked up what squadron he was on. Like he had, and this Scott was just whatever, starting out here. And like Fred was interested in other people. Anyway, Mike Glenn, this kid was playing football, and Fred said, I'd like to come see him play. And he said, well, the last game's today. And sure enough, he shows up at the place where they're playing, and there's this white-haired man sitting all by himself. And Mike said he gave him every opportunity throughout the game to leave. His kid played maybe a total of 17 plays on special teams. And Fred never left. He just stayed and stayed. And then there were team pictures. It was the last game, so there were team pictures afterwards and whatever else, and Fred stayed and stayed. And then he wanted to meet with Tucker, and he met with Tucker, and he said, I know you only played 17 plays, but I watched you the whole game, and you're going to be the way you are attentive, the way you're locked in, the way that you're going to be a great football player. And that's like, I wouldn't have stayed all game. Michael Allen, who used to run the Botanic Garden, he posted a story, and you see this all the time, about the time that Fred popped up. Fred was at the Botanic Garden, and he wanted to know where something was. And so he texted or called and Michael Allen said, let me send a golf cart. We'll send a golf cart. Let's see. What, and he said, no, I'm walking here with my granddaughter. He is utterly unassuming. Sort of this classic name, Fred, you know, our guy, Fred. And of course, this is not a secret either. It's astonishing what he did for Memphis. And I was thinking of the movie It's a Wonderful Life, where they, you know, play back his life, and you imagine the town if he had not existed. And if you imagine a Memphis without Fred Smith, first of all, you'd imagine, you know, our skies would not be filled with the sound that they're filled with, which is FedEx planes, right? Coming overhead.
Driving into work would sound very different.
You wouldn't have tens of thousands of Memphians with the jobs that they have, enriching this community in the ways that they do. The Memphis Grizzlies would not be here. The golf tournament would not be here. The zoo would be a modest, if it might have gone away altogether. It would not be a world-class zoo.
Who knows if we'd have a zoo.
The University of Memphis would not be the competitive research institution that it is. Certainly, the athletic program wouldn't be to the state that it is. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, massive supporter of St. Jude Children's Research. You go right down the line.
I don't think we'd have that new tennis facility.
That's true. It is. I listed a bunch of them in my column, but there's so many more. It's just kind of astounding how this would have been different without Fred. And it is, I think, we have so many challenges as a community, but it is our real good fortune, and has been our real good fortune, that some of the people who are in a position, let's be honest, to up and move themselves or their companies or whatever else, have stayed here and dug in. And it is interesting to me, because you see so many people occasionally on Facebook, can't wait to get the hell out of here. A guy who's making, you know, $52,000 doing whatever and is concerned. And Fred, who could have, like, whatever, gotten the
literally
hell out of here.
Literally lived anywhere.
Lived here until literally his dying day, and rolled up his sleeves and was working here at making Memphis a better place. Literally. Until his dying day. And it's not just Fred. It's Pitt Hyde is another who is like the striking thing there is those two knew each other in third grade. They knew each other in third grade. And like Pitt was on Fred's board for forever. And they have worked together on so many projects. But there are definitely there are others. Certainly Staley's another one. Mason is another one who, like, there are people who have who could live anywhere and could just shrug and tap out and move on. And they continue to pour themselves into the city in a way that is, it's been immeasurably important. And I do worry and wonder if the next, group of folks in Memphis have that same commitment to Memphis, you know, where Fred's commitment came from. Well, I mean, he basically grew up here. He was born in Mississippi.
Marks, yeah.
He was born in Marks, Mississippi. But he grew up here, and he cared about this place. And so this is where he stayed to the end. And he was, like, the story that I led my column with today is a story that I told before, and it's not even close to the most important thing that Fred has done for Memphis. Not, it may not be in the top 100, but it was, what, how many years ago? Was it a year and a half ago when we were having this food fight about who's going to get the state money for the arenas?
I think it might have been 2 years ago this summer.
Yeah.
It was a summer thing. I remember that.
Yeah. So, and it's starting to get a little bit contentious. And so Richard, Fred's son.
Right. I told you right when the.
You told me there wasn't going to be enough money. I was like, this is going to get, this is going to, you were right on that. And Memphis was pushing hard to get their share of the money. And as Richards told me, he said, I was a little worried that, like, Memphis would get their share of the money and then there wouldn't be enough for the Grizzlies and we'd be in a hell of a fix. So he said they set up a meeting with the president of the university. And the idea, Richard thought, was we're just going to ask Memphis to go slow. Like, can you stop?
They've gotten very public.
Can you stop pressing quite the way you have? And instead, Fred sits there and he says at some point, and you can read the quote, exact quotes in the column. He said, I've done a little back of the envelope math. It appears you need another $100 million. We'll give $50 million and then you get $50 million in.
And we'll help you raise it.
Matching, and we'll help you raise it. And so he just, like, he solved the problem. You know, he's like, oh, here's the problem. Memphis needs help. He didn't go to the University of Memphis, but he recognized that a vital, energetic, competitive University of Memphis across all fronts is of incredible importance to the community. And then, of course, subsequently, there's the NIL money and it just an incredible problem solver for Memphis. And, like, we just focus on the sports part a lot because that's what we do here. But the sports angle has been just, I mean, it is simply true. There are a lot of people who were engaged in bringing the Grizzlies to town. But without Fred Smith and FedEx, it simply would not have happened. David Stern wanted to be the league to be engaged with FedEx. And Fred's not a basketball fan, really pretty much at all. He was a football fan. Like, he was a massive football fan. But they didn't need to spend $90 million on naming rights. Like, people in Memphis kind of know FedEx. You didn't need to slap the FedEx label on your arena downtown. But without it, it wouldn't happen. Right. Simply, it just would not have happened. And the golf tournament, there's another one. Fred didn't play golf. He didn't care. He'd go to the tournament on Sunday, and he was incredibly supportive of the tournament because he knew what it meant to FedEx. He knew what it meant to St. Jude. He knew what it meant to Memphis. He was incredibly supportive. But evidently, they gave him golf clubs once, and he was so good at everything, he could master anything. Legend has it that he read a book a day. I don't know how you could read a book a day. But anyway, that he couldn't quite master golf. And I was told they never saw those golf clubs again.
Wouldn't shock me.
But there you go. There he is. He's supporting the golf tournament. Not because he cares about golf or golf is his thing particularly, because he knew it was important. So it is, it's just like you really do have a sense of comfort that how bad could things get? Because Fred is there, right?
100%.
Yeah, Fred will solve this.
Yep. That'll fix it.
Yeah, they'll fix it. I mean, it's FedEx and Fred. Like, they'll fix it. And now that comfort is gone. And that is really bracing. I go back to, though, to what Fred said when times were tough at FedEx, and there have been times when they're tough at FedEx. He would walk into the room, and he would say, isn't this going to be great when we get through it? So I think you just got to tell yourself a little bit, as Memphians, no, like, Fred isn't there to backstop everything anymore. But isn't this going to be great when we get through it? It was a life extraordinarily well led, full of impact and meaning, and just a legendary Memphian. So we'll pay our respects to Fred and to the family, and we'll be back to talk about the rest of what happened over the weekend in a moment. It's Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Well, the Summer of 1,000 engagement continues at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Save up to 40% during their Summer of 1,000 engagement sale. Plus, for a limited time, how about this? Free Yeti Tundra cooler. We could use a cooler, Jeffrey. It feels like right now could all use a cooler. As my copy here says, and you can tell that Robert Irwin knows what they're doing, proposals need ice. And Robert Irwin Jewelers is delivering it in more ways than one. So you spend $24.99 or more, you get a free Yeti Tundra cooler. It is, of course, the number one place to buy that ice, that engagement ring, for lots of reasons, including the meant-to-be guarantee. Buy your loose diamond custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers, 365 days to return it. By the way, Robert Irwin Jewelers is also going to save you money. Lowest price on GIA-certified natural diamonds in the Mid-South. If you want to upgrade your engagement ring, they're there for you. They can help you with that as well. It is the Summer of 1,000 Engagements. Robert Irwin Jewelers has 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. During the break, got a text, won't say who it's from, but someone who worked for FedEx for a long time. Sent me a text saying, as I was leaving FedEx, Fred called me and asked me to stop by his office. I expected a 5-minute conversation and a wish you well. Instead, I received a warm welcome and spent an hour in his office discussing a wide range of topics. Remarkably kind. I feel fortunate to say I knew him. And then you had people who were just like, I saw people on social media. In fact, if you have a Fred Smith story, maybe you don't. Like, whatever. If you have a Fred Smith story, 445-0929. We'll do that briefly if you have one. If you have one. If you happen to have one, 445-0929, and you want to say thanks, we'll do that. 445-0929. But there was someone else I saw on Facebook who just said, 30 years on a pension. You know, and that is, in fact, the biggest impact he had. I mean, Staley Cates told me, he said, you know, I believe in philanthropy. I'm all about philanthropy. I've been active in the world of philanthropy. But the best form of philanthropy is giving someone a job. And so Fred Smith is the greatest philanthropist in the history of Memphis because of all the jobs that he created. All right, if we don't hear from anyone, we will just move on, because we do have a lot of actual sports to get to. As we contemplate everything that happened this weekend. That was tough last night. Halliburton.
Yeah, it was not a fun watch.
Let me ask you this. After, now it's happened, like, in an NBA game, guy with a calf blows out his Achilles, right? Like,
I've been on saying this. When you start reading calf strain, it's just pre-Achilles.
So, okay, you had to play. He had to play, but are we going to start realizing, is this going to change the way? I mean, literally, if you knew he was going to blow out his Achilles, and, you know, early in the game, you would not have played. right? But how, like, what is the, and by the way, is this, does this suggest that let's say he hadn't played, right? Let's say he hadn't played. Does that mean that he would have just recovered, or was ultimately a blown Achilles inevitable if he, anyway, in other words, let's say he'd set out that game, but then gone about his life and whatever, like, did it mean that his Achilles was about to blow either way or not? I asked people to call, so I'm sort of caught in betwixt and between. I do want to talk about the NBA Finals, but I did ask people to call 445-0929. This is what happens when I do things on the fly, if they happen to have a Fred story. So whatever, someone's called, then we'll take it. What do we got?
We got Charles in Moscow, Tennessee.
In Moscow? Charles. Yeah.
Hey, we like to say Moscow. We don't
Moscow,
want to be...
I'm sorry. Yeah, Moscow. Yeah, I'm a moron sometimes. I'm still... I just got here. I just arrived, basically, in 96, so you have to forgive me. Yeah. What did I mispronounce the other day, Jeffrey? I pronounced school.
And it was Messick.
Messick, yeah, that was it, Messick. You know, there's still some that catch me. Anyway, how are things out there?
Hey, they're hot.
Uh-huh.
I was out here weeding the backyard and the sweating, and I heard you say something about Fred Smith, and I heard you say, if anybody's got a story, call in. I just had to.
Okay.
So I'm trying to cool off right now. But
what do you got?
Two quick ones for you. Okay, I used to work at FedEx,
uh-huh.
And I remember in what we called the cafeteria, the buffeteria, there was a young man that was there almost every day. You could tell he had disabilities, learning disabilities or whatever. But the story was, this guy had gone to Fred Smith's house, knocked on the door, and said, I need a job. And Fred said, we'll take care of it. And so he got that guy a job because the guy showed up at his door.
That's amazing.
Yes.
What's the other one? You said he had two.
The other one is...
Yeah.
My wife worked for Mike Rose for many years,
uh-huh.
as his assistant, so she would be answering the phone. And she says every time Fred Smith called, he would say, this is Fred Smith, chairman and president of FedEx. And she said to Mike one time, she says, like, nobody knows Fred Smith.
Right. Doesn't have to say who exactly he is. Right, exactly.
Yeah, he's so humble. He makes sure everybody knows what he does for a living.
All right, get back to your weeding, Charles. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it. That's another one, though. See, Mike Rose is gone. Like, this is the challenge. It's a challenge for the community broadly, but it's also a challenge particular for the University of Memphis, right? You've got a lot of devout University of Memphis supporters and who are gone. And is the next wave as committed, as involved, and honestly as financially capable,
yep.
Right? Like all of that. All right. So we're going to stop. We're going to move on now. So back to the...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Was he gonna blow out his Achilles anyway? Like, let's say he'd sat. Let's say there's no way he could have sat out last night or would have. But the fact that he had the calf, when you say it's pre-Achilles,
I mean, they got an MRI after, what was it, game four? They did that for a reason. I mean, calf strains always. Remember when Durant had
My question is, would, if he hadn't have played, was he gonna bust his Achilles at some point anyway? Or could he have just recovered from the calf strain and been lived happily ever after with a sound Achilles for the rest of his days?
I mean, I think the professional opinion would be, who knows?
Right. And, of course, let's be honest, we certainly don't. But that was – and so you have this title now that is this giant what if. Like, full credit – it's funny. Full credit to Oklahoma City, but everyone's saying – what would have happened? The way that Halliburton was playing early in that game,
he still finished with the most threes.
The way that he'd played during the series, the way that he'd playing, during the entire playoffs. It is, and then it's funny, like on Unsportsmanlike, the show before ours, they asked Alan Hahn, he's an NBA analyst, they had him on. They said, what was the key to Oklahoma City winning the title? Like, when you look at their run and the year you've had, what was the key? And he said, oh, injuries. Yeah, I mean, like, they didn't face Steph. They faced Ja, you know, whatever. Yep. They Aaron Gordon
gets hurt.
And here. And so it's kind of unfortunate. It is just the way it's going to be, though. I don't think this is unique to Oklahoma City.
Now, if you think about Boston's run last year, there were a lot of people that were complaining, like, oh, they got crowned because everyone they played was injured.
It's just going to be. The teams you play, people will have injuries because that's the way it works now. It does feel like we were robbed, though, doesn't it?
It felt like we were robbed of the chance of having
a classic,
a great game seven. You know, I mean, I don't know.
And in some ways, it's too bad to ding Oklahoma City. They won 84 games.
I felt like the best team won.
Yes.
But at the same time, like, it did feel like you didn't really know, like, you didn't know how to process what you were watching.
And then one of the questions that came up, and this is the interesting question with Oklahoma City, is one of the hosts on there said, why don't I like them? Like, why don't I like them more? Like,
sure.
Well, why don't I like them? And I do think, I don't think people hate them.
No, I agree with you. It's
but
not
I
like,
don't think there's, no one's like, what an emotional moment. They, you know, there was no struggle. They're young. They're whatever. They're not particularly dynamic or fun to watch in that way. Like, I don't, you know, whatever. I guess if you like defense, if you like forcing turnovers.
Yeah, but
they're remarkable to watch when they are firing all cylinders. It's, oh my God, that's suffocating. But, yeah.
I think it's the lack of, like, they're not that dynamic offensively. Because, you know, Peter was talking with you on Friday. It's like, if SGA is not just incredible, their offense gets kind of gross.
And then SGA, whatever you think of him, is not the most fun to watch.
No, I mean, it is a lot of foul baiting.
So that happened. But listen, we had two small market teams, and then we had a seven-game series, and it was a massive success.
Yeah, and
even if we were robbed.
I do.
And I mean, a very good playoff.
This
overall
is the seventh straight unique champion.
Yeah, there was a stat on that recently that in terms of how many unique champions, here you go. Adam Silver has crowned 9 different champions in his 12 seasons as NBA commissioner.
Yeah.
Okay. And 7-7.
Correct.
And 9-12. David Stern, in 30 years.
I think it was 10, correct?
Eight.
Eight.
8-30, as opposed to 9-12. Someone asked below, is that good for the league or bad for the league? Listen, it's probably bad for NBA Finals ratings, if that is what your whole judgment is, right? Because I do think that repeat teams, repeat storylines, reputations, all of that generate better ratings in the end. Dynasties, all of that generate better ratings in the end. Although it'll be interesting to see if Oklahoma City becomes quote-unquote a dynasty, are they going to generate better ratings? Or is it only certain kinds of dynasties? Certain dynasties in certain cities, dynasties with certain types of players, dynasties with electric magnetic personalities. Like, is it? We will see. My view is that for the health of the league as a whole, and I speak of that as someone who lives in Memphis and wishes good things for the Memphis Grizzlies, it is healthy when everyone feels like they can win a title.
I think that's true. I think to your point about will the Thunder, I think oftentimes familiarity, like, we need to know the story and the characters. Yeah. And so if they start winning at a dominant level, yes.
But the Spurs never became a driver.
No, but
we knew them, and they, that it is the, it is the analogy. Like, that is this franchise. Like Tim Duncan is SGA, not in terms of
position,
the way they play,
but in terms of not a dynamic personality, clearly a great player.
Right.
But at the same time, like, doesn't make you feel really a particular way one way or the other.
Chris Harrington would pay to watch him, but most people didn't.
Sure.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, you didn't, when Jordan came to town, when Kobe came to town, whatever, you're like, I got to go see. when Tim Duncan came to town, like, my, he's a wonderfully efficient player.
Right. Big fundamental.
Big fundamental. Anyway, shout out to the Thunder. Whether that gives, Grizzlies fans, you know, you could look at the Thunder and think, oh, that's great. That could be us. Or you could look at the Thunder and say, damn it. How did they, like, why did we screw up so badly that we're not them? In other words, are they a tale that gives you hope, that gives you more hope or more despair?
So I think it's a tale that gives me more hope.
Me too. But I do think there are people the other way. No, there are people like, why don't we have a GM who can pull off one of the most one-sided trades in NBA history, which is an impossible standard.
No, but what I do think what the last couple of years have proven to me is if you run your team well and you run your team smartly, we are not in this era where you simply just have to have right. three top 15 Agreed. Players. Like you
and,
can build,
and you stay healthy.
Correct.
And there is no, there's no, I know no, none of you believe this, but next year could be the year when the Grizzlies stay healthy.
Well, I mean, think about it in these terms. Did anyone,
relatively.
When Boston won last year, did anybody think Boston wouldn't really be a part of the story?
No, it is interesting now, by the way. You look at the East. You got the Celtics have been ruined by injury. You got the Pacers have been ruined by injury.
I mean, that's what really sucks now if you're the Pacers. It's like now
crazy.
What do you do?
Now, yeah, you got the Knicks returning intact, at least so far, without a coach, mind you, but returning intact. And you got the Cavs, and the Cavs must be feeling like, okay, maybe that was a disappointing playoff, but we just need to – maybe we should run it back. Like, sure. No one's left to compete with us. Like, they're all disappearing. So, anyway, that happened. Sadly, KD did not move east. KD instead was traded from the Suns to Houston. Old friend Dylan Brooks going back the other direction. Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the 10th pick in this year's draft, and 5 seconds. It's interesting because the reaction on social media broadly was, my God, that's all you got for KD. And my God, the Suns really want to have 7 2 guards. Like that's
yeah,
the,
all wings
like that, that this is, even if you call Dylan a 3, which he will be on that team. Obviously you've got Devin Booker, you've got Bradley Beal
and his contract
is a movable contract. Then you've got Jalen Green. And then you've got Grayson Allen, and then you've got Royce O'Neal, and you've got Cody Martin. Like all of those guys play two. Yep. Like they're all twos, and so it is a wildly unbalanced roster. And you're like, couldn't anyone step up? I can't believe that Houston, which desperately needed
a legit scorer.
We saw the way that they face planted in the offense face planted yes. in the playoffs. So now they got KD to fix that. Couldn't you have made him give up more? Like, you know, Cam Whitmore or Reed Shepard or some of the future number ones that they hold from Phoenix, like whatever. Couldn't they have given up more? It's a little bit of the Dallas discussion, but couldn't you force the Lakers to give up more? It is interesting though. Very clearly, I do always believe this, except for in the case of Dallas, where they just didn't shop the pick, right?
Right.
So, but you can't tell me that the Suns had a better deal for Kevin Durant available, or they would have taken it.
They were shopping him.
Everyone knew they were shopping
right.
him. So that was very clearly the best deal available, certainly in their eyes, the best deal available for Kevin Durant. Now, it's kind of interesting that nobody else stepped up in a meaningful way for Kevin Durant. And it's crushing that he goes to a Houston team that was already the 2 seed. And now they got exactly what they needed. I mean, Cam Whitmore and Reed Shepard couldn't even barely get on the floor last year. They don't need that number 10 pick, you know, and you've got, sure, you got to give up Dylan Brooks. And it was interesting because Houston fans on social media seem to be much more grateful about Dylan Brooks and what he'd done. By the time Dylan Brooks exited Memphis, it was mostly just good riddance.
Yeah.
Right? Now there's been a little, have you seen how
graduation
the defense
goggles.
Has collapsed?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a revisionist history there. Houston fans were just grateful that he helped change the culture. It's what seemed to me to be happening on social media. But, you know, they've got Eason and Thompson who can easily take his role as defensive stopper. So it's a little scary what Houston has become. But what's interesting is Hollinger over at The Athletic did not think it was a problem for the Suns. Obviously, they're going to end up probably trading Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal.
Yeah, I mean, I assume they're going to make other deals on top of it.
Yeah, they're going to have to make other deals. This is what he said. As for the large logic of the deal itself, it made a ton of sense for the Suns. That they gave up way too much in the original trade for Durant is a sunk cost. Right?
That's already happened. You can't do anything about it. You did it
already. This particular trade was a decent return that gives them both draft capital and two starters. Obviously, the starters being Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green, one of whom is young enough to still get considerably better. They were never doing better than this.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the reality of trading someone who's 37.
Right. But the problem is they turned, when they made that trade for KD, they had Mikal Bridges, they had Cam Johnson. They traded Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, four firsts, and a swap for Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, and the 10th. If you fold in both transactions, that's a hideous bit of work for the Suns.
It's a very unbalanced balance sheet.
But it is, it's not, it may be that, now of course, some of this depends on what you think about Jalen Green. My son Peter hates Jalen Green.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a huge part of it is, I think a lot of your view of this trade is, what did you think of Jalen Green? I don't know if I'm maybe as strong as Peter, but I can safely say I don't have the Jalen Green gene.
KD has 1 year, $54.5 million left. They will obviously try to extend him. They've already extended Steven Adams on a front-loaded deal. They've got Fred VanVleet they have to extend, presumably on a front-loaded deal. And so then you extend KD, and by the time you have to pay your young stars, you have the other contracts coming down.
They paid Steven a little bit this year, too.
So I don't know.
A lot of this also, though, to me, depends on, all right, well, how many games of Kevin Durant do they get?
How many games of Kevin Durant are they going to get? Yeah, isn't that a little bit like, again, Joey Bosa is not Kevin Durant.
Sure.
But isn't it a little bit like Joey Bosa going to the Bills? It's not like, I don't need to play every game. I just need him to play the games that matter at the end of the season.
No, I agree, but I think that's kind of the other aspect of what we've been seeing, which is if you don't give yourself a good enough shot during the regular season, you can wind up in a bad matchup.
Right.
And this is kind of what happened to Phoenix 2 years ago, where Phoenix was all about, we just got to get to the playoffs, and then they wind up matched up against Minnesota, and then...
You're exactly right. It is very possible that the Rockets in the regular season, because of this trade... Now, they got young players who are going to get better too, right? But they could win fewer games in the regular season next year than they did this past year.
It's like when people want to criticize the Bucks for the deal that they did with Lillard. I understand what people are saying about the criticism. I always just felt like that move, though, was not about the regular season. That move was about giving themselves another shot maker in the playoffs. They just didn't get to test it.
They never got to test it. All right. If you have something that you wish to get framed, there's only one place to go in the city of Memphis. It is the Frame Corner. And you know this because, let's see, they've not been doing it for 10 years. No, not 20 years. No, not 30 years. No, not 40 years, but 50 years. If you got any place that has been doing something for 50 years, you know that they are good at their job. And since I've started talking about the Frame Corner, I have people all the time contacting me and telling me about the great experience that they had in Frame Corner. By the way, with some unusual stuff too. Like, it's not just this photo, although they can do that, a collection of photos, whatever else. It's all kinds of memorabilia and mementos and things from their histories that they bring in because they want them preserved for forever. And that's what the Frame Corner can do. They're expert at custom framing. They'll also sell you a frame. But they're expert at custom framing. So if you have any needs framing, head on to the Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. On the other side, Chris Harrington joins the show. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.